us to say to us. Okay. Easy worship, need some help. There we go. Okay, we're going to turn to the word of the Lord this morning. And as we turn to the word of the Lord, just would you join me and just let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. He'll teach us what we need this morning. He will help us and strengthen us in our areas of need, because that's what he does. That's what he does. So, Lord, here we are this morning in your presence. We thank you for the time of worship. Lord, we thank you for the fellowship with you through communion as we ate bread and drank juice and we remembered your powerful name and your powerful work on our behalf. We are so thankful and we're so grateful. And now, Lord, as we turn to your word, God, we need to hear from you this morning. Lord, we hear so many different things. We have so many ideas and voices bombarding us all week long. But Lord, we want to hear your voice this morning. So we pray that you would speak to us. And Lord, as your word says, give us ears to hear what you are saying to us. And we'll listen and we will obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Okay, we're going to turn to the word of God. And I want to go ahead and let you know, here you go. We're going to keep talking about the Holy Spirit. I told you we would. So we're going to stay mostly in the book of Acts. And we're going to continue along the same lines of what we have been looking at when I was with you before I was in the States. And today I want to talk about what you should know about the Holy Spirit. I am not so arrogant as to think in a few minutes this morning that we can cover what we need to know about the Holy Spirit. There's so much more there. But within the framework of what we've been looking at in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when God the Father and God the Son gave the gift of God the Spirit to the people of God to equip them, to prepare them, to empower them, to make them holy, to guide them, to guard them, to discipline them when they needed it, and us as well. So Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on Jews, only Jews, no non-Jews, not even of mixed race, only Jews in Acts chapter 2. And then 8 years forward, we've been talking about this when we were speaking before. And then Acts 10, 8 years later, when God the Father and God the Son again give the gift of God the Spirit to non-Jews, to Gentiles. And we knew this was going to happen. They should have known this was going to happen because Peter, when he preached on the day of Pentecost after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, said at that time, this promise is for you, Jews, for your children's children, and all those who are far off. And so as we look at this, you and I are in the last category, right? All those who are far off. So you're included this morning in what we look at about the Holy Spirit. So we're going to focus again on Acts 2, Acts 10. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. And within this context, I just want to talk about, I have 3 points this morning, but I got to tell you this. Third week I was there, I said, Mom, let's go to church. Let's find a church, a Spirit-filled church we can go to. So my sister and my mom and I hopped in a car. We looked it up online. We drove 45 minutes away. We pulled up 15 minutes before the service was to start so we could get a good place to sit. And the doors of the church were closed, completely closed. We don't know why. There was no sign. There was nothing online. We said, what are we going to do? So we drove around. We found another church, and they wouldn't let us in because they were between services. And they said, come back at 11. So we came back at 11, and it was great. It was good worship. And then the pastor started, and he said, I have 4 points. So I only have three, okay? I only have three. And he preached for about an hour. But we began to get tired after 30 minutes when he was still on point number one. So I promise I'm not going to preach 30 minutes on point number one. But I do have 3 points this morning that I want us to look at as we think about the Holy Spirit and what we should know. We're going to spend the most time on point number one. And number one is this, he's in charge, okay? He's in charge. The Holy Spirit's in charge. We're going to see this in Acts 2 and Acts 10. Now, some of us are really independent, and we don't like that very much.
I'm in charge,
right? But if you're a God's child, what God says is he's in charge. Let's look at what the Word of God says. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they're all working together. And in Genesis chapter 1, these three parts of God, God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, are all working together in creation. But I want you to notice, if you look in Genesis 1, it's this beautiful and wonderful and reassuring expression of creation. You should be encouraged this morning. Genesis 1 says, and God said, let there be light. And what happened next? And, you tell me, and there was light. And God said, let the dark and the light be separated, let sun and moon. And that's what happened. And God said, let the earth spring forth with all sorts of green things. And what happened? And that's what happened. And God said, let the waters teem with life. And what happened? And it happened. So I want you to hear something this morning. This is not even our main point, but it should be really encouraging to you because God's in charge. If God speaks into your life, if God says something about your life, if God says something about your situation, he's in charge. He's in charge. And you can be reassured. You can be confident knowing that what God says to you, it will be. What God says about you will come to pass. What God has for your future, it will be, because God's in charge. So this morning, if you feel like everything is in a whirl, if everything is in a mess, go to God, hear God's voice about your life, about your situation, about your family, about your finances, about your health, about your marriage, about your relationships. God, what do you say? And what God says, you can trust because he's in charge. So we see this picture of God, and then we go through the Old Testament, and we mostly see, although we see Jesus, the Son, in the Old Testament, in pictures here and there throughout the Old Testament, and though we see the working of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, it's mostly God the Father, right? And then we come Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And we read in John chapter 1, one of the most wonderful chapters. If you have to pick a chapter to focus on, you can't beat John chapter 1, as it talks about the Word, Jesus. And the Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us, right? And we have seen his glory. That's what John says. And if we follow the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what do we see? We see God the Son, and he's in charge, isn't he? He's in charge. The disciples say, Master, we should do this, this, this. And Jesus says, you don't have the mind of the Father. Stop it. His mother comes to him and says, son, there's no wine for the... And Jesus says, woman, my time is not yet. The storm blows up. And what does Jesus do? He comes walking on the water. He comes walking on the storm. He's in charge. And then he says, peace be still. And everybody, his disciples, even the winds and the waves, they obey him. They obey him. And we see Jesus in charge. Even when Jesus goes to the cross, remember what he says? He is not taken by surprise. He is not overpowered. The Bible's very clear. Jesus willingly laid down his life, right? Jesus willingly gave it up. Why? He was in charge. And the most powerful thing that mankind has ever known, which is death. Death, Jesus overcame. He overcame. And he broke the bonds of death. And he capsized hell. And he came forth on the third day. Why? Because he's in charge. He's in charge. So the same thing is true in your life as well. What did Jesus say? I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And where there is death in your life, in your being, Jesus comes to give life. And then Jesus gets ready to go back to heaven, and his disciples are bereft. You're going to leave us? Don't leave us. And Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you. How many of you this morning in your lives, you have felt or you feel very much alone at times, right? You kind of feel on your own, right? Those of you who are far from home and don't have family around you, specifically if you are an asylum seeker like Sebastian, or if you are a helper here, you're from the Philippines, you can really, even though you've got friends, you really feel alone sometimes, don't you? You're kind of on your own. You're not surrounded by family. You really feel on your own. Others of you, your parents may have passed away. I was talking with, I think it was, I don't know if it was Stephen or Moses or Chris maybe. And it was just, I have felt it even with my dad after he's gone, and I still have mom. We can be completely adults, and when our parents are gone, we just kind of feel alone again, don't we? Even when we're grown. Some of you, maybe because of family dissolution or a parent has died, you feel so alone. And what Jesus says to his disciples and what he says to you and me this morning is this: I will not leave you alone. Now, you and I have had people who've promised us before, I'm here for you. And they broke their promise, didn't they? They broke what they should have. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. And Jesus always keeps his promise. You can count on him. And Jesus says, I'm going away, but I'm going to be with you. Oh, this oxymoron, if you will. And he said, I'm going to send someone to you. And he's going to be not just with you, he's going to be in you. He's going to be in you. And he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. And what Jesus was doing was preparing his disciples and you and me this morning for the one who is now in charge. Who's in charge now? Who? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's in charge now. You say, well, God the Father. Yes, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. But God the Son said, and now I am passing on the care of you, the protection of you, the presence with you into the hands of the Holy Spirit. And he will be with you always. How could Jesus say, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth? He was going back to heaven because he was passing himself through the work of the Holy Spirit. He was going to be with them forever. So let's look at some verses real quickly. So he lets them know, Holy Spirit's going to be in charge. These are going to be fast. Ready? We're real quickly through John. John 14, 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. That's an I. That comes. We'll get that worked out. I have said to you. Now, you know I used to be an English teacher, right? So I want you to look at these absolute words that are here. This should really encourage you this morning. He will teach you what things? A few things? All things. And he will remind you of what? Everything I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit's in charge. This is what he's going to do. The next one, John 15, 26. So it's 14, 26, 15, 26. When the Counselor, give me some other words for Counselor. Because sometimes we think Counselor, sometimes we have positive, negative reactions to that. But what are some other words that the word Counselor means?
Teacher.
Helper. Comforter. And the word comforter, we sometimes think a soft, a gentle thing, but actually the word comforter, which is also counselor, the word literally means a strengthener. That's what it means. Okay? Can you think of any other words that are used for the Holy Spirit that are included in this counselor?
Intercessor?
Advisor?
Mentor?
What else? What? Mediator, all of these things that are part of it, and I've heard some more. Advocate, what did you say, Kim?
Convictor.
A convictor, all of these things are included in that. And he says, I'm sending another one. It's all of these things together. And what does he say? I will send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth. We live in a world of lies and half-truths, don't we? Everything gets twisted around us. He goes out from the Father. He will testify about me. Okay, John 16:8. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Okay, John 16:13. Keep on going. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into what? All truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. Isn't that encouraging and comforting when we don't know kind of what's ahead? The Holy Spirit knows, and he will tell us what we need to know. Please don't go to a fortune teller. Please don't say, well, it's just fun. Let me see what my horoscope is. Don't raise your hand. I know some of you do that. Stay away from it. I'm serious. That stuff is from the devil. You say, well, but it came true. You think the devil doesn't know stuff? Of course the devil knows stuff. Stay away from it. It's from the devil. If you want to know what you need to know about the future, you talk to the Holy Spirit. And what you need to know, he'll let you know. And if he doesn't tell you, you don't need to know it. Right? Amen. That was a big amen. Okay. He will tell you what is yet to come. So is it very clear that Jesus is putting the Holy Spirit in charge? I can tell right now that point one is, we're probably only going to get point one. Next week we're going to get point two and point three. Okay? So I should have retitled it today. One thing you should know about the Holy Spirit. And then next week, two more things you should know about the Holy Spirit. But this is so important for us. Okay. And then, just before he leaves, here's something else that we read. Okay? And then Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. What Jesus was giving them to do, they would not be able to do in their own power. How Jesus was calling them to live, they would not be able to live in their own strength and in their own power. How they would conduct themselves in a hostile, hateful world against them, they would not be able to do with the resources that they had. And so what Jesus said to them and what Jesus said to you and me is this. But when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll be filled with power. This is one of the reasons we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We must have the working of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have to. We have to. Brothers and sisters, it is not a doctrine of a church. It is not optional. He's the only way we're going to make it. He's the only way we're going to make it. You know what's interesting about this passage right here? Right before this, the disciples have to ask Jesus about something else. Master, are you going to set up your kingdom on earth now? Is that what's going to happen next? And you know what Jesus says to them? Jesus basically says, none of your business. That's what he's saying here, right? He's saying, this is not for you to know. The Father sets that. But you, I think sometimes you and I get all tied up with things that we really shouldn't. You and I need to learn and hear from Jesus. What is he saying to us? And that's where we need to set our focus and set our attention. And so number one, he's in charge. He's in charge. Now, let's look at it in Acts chapter 10. Let's start with Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, and then we'll go back to Acts chapter 2. So he's in charge. So what's happening as we look at this? So the Holy Spirit is at work, and in Caesarea, there is Cornelius, who is, I shouldn't say Roman. The Bible says Roman, but let's put it in modern language, in modern terms. Who is Cornelius? What is his ethnic background? What is his ethnicity? He's Italian. He's Roman. He's Italian. Okay? So he's Italian, as far as we know. He is in Caesarea. Here's the thing about Caesarea. Caesarea was the head of the headquarters of all the Roman governors. Not only that, Caesarea was the headquarters of the Roman soldiers, the occupying force over all of Palestine. So Cornelius is there, and he's praying, and he's doing all he knows to do, and he's honoring God, but he doesn't know about Jesus, and he doesn't know about salvation in the name of Jesus. So we know what happens, right? We know that an angel shows up. He's doing the best he can do. You know what happens when you do the best you can do and you do all you know to do? God shows up and leads you on. He does. He shows up and he leads you on. So that's happening in Caesarea. It's the headquarters. We know that Cornelius is God-fearing, and he's honoring God. He's giving to the poor. He's influencing his family. He's influencing his friends. He's even influencing the soldiers who are under him, because the Bible tells us that. The angel appears to him and says, go to Joppa. That's 50 kilometers away. I'm trying to get my kilometers and miles straight these days. 50 kilometers away. And he says, there's a man in Joppa, and his name is Peter, and he's staying by the seaside at the house of a man named Simon the Tanner. Talk about specific. That's really specific. And so he sends them off, and he's staying there. So what happens? The next day, Peter is praying. He has a mysterious vision repeated three times, and then we see the Holy Spirit in charge. I have a question for you this morning, because most of us know this story, right? Yeah? Right. If you don't, you should read it. It's a great story. It really is. It's a great story. Let me ask you something. How many times did Peter have the same vision? How many times? Three. Why? Why? Confirmation. You are so kind, Keith. I was thinking of something a little less kind than that. Why does Peter... That may be confirmation. Is there another reason? Peter's pig-headed, which is what we would say in the South. Do you ever use that expression, pig-headed? He was stubborn. He was, this is the way it has to be. And God is going to change things. Why? Because God's in charge. Peter thinks only salvation comes to Jews. It's only the Jews. And God says, no, salvation is for everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And so here's Peter, who's there to spread the gospel. And God gives him a vision three times, but Peter doesn't know what it means, okay? While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, men sent by Cornelius, they find the house. They call out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. This is the first century doorbell, by the way. Ding, 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 ding. They don't come inside because it would be unclean. They knew that for a Gentile to go into a Jewish house. That wasn't what was done. Now, look with me at the Holy Spirit in charge. Peter's still thinking about the vision. The Spirit said to him, Simon, that's his other name, three men are looking for you. So get up, go downstairs, do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Wait a minute. I thought Cornelius sent them. Didn't you think so? Isn't that what we read earlier? Cornelius sends them off? But the Holy Spirit says, I have sent them. I want you to pause there just a minute, and I want you to think about it. Think about the times in your life as a child of God when people have come across your path and it felt like coincidence, right? At just the time of need, at just the whatever. I've told you the story before about my sister, but for some of you, this will be new. Years ago in South Alabama, long before she'd married, and she was at work, she was driving home, and her car broke down on the way home from work. God couldn't be in that anywhere, could he? If God really loved me, he would keep my car from breaking down beside the highway and get me home. Her car broke down, had to get a tow truck, took it in to the garage, and so she was waiting. It had to get repaired right then so that she could go on home. And as she was standing there, the man behind the counter, he was the mechanic there, and they just started talking, and he said to my sister, he was talking about his life, and he said, tonight after work, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to take my life. I'm going to commit suicide. I promise you, true story. I'm going to commit suicide. I have nothing to live for. He'd really messed up his life. His relationships were broken, and he thought, what's the point? And he says, I'm, I'm just going to go home and take my life. What's the point? And so my sister began to talk to him about Jesus and began to talk to him about the hope that was in Jesus, and then connected him with a church there in the town and men in the town who could speak into his life. So here's a man who was going to go to hell. That's where he was bound that night. But her car broke down, and she happened to go to that garage. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. He's in charge, brothers and sisters. He's in charge. And if you and I, as the Holy Spirit works in us, and as we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and you can ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me to be more sensitive to your work and what you're doing. I believe God would, if we would listen and let him, God would bring people our way all the time. All the time. People who need help. People who need hope. And the Holy Spirit says, three men are outside. Don't worry. He doesn't even say, they're Italian. They're soldiers. Go anyhow. He just says, don't worry about it. Go with them. And here we see this picture of the Holy Spirit. Of the Holy Spirit in charge, because Jesus had put the charge of God's people into the hands of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look a little bit further. So Peter goes. It's really a shocker. You know what happens? They stand outside, and for the first time in his life, Peter invites three Gentiles to come into the home where he's staying. You and I read that. We don't think it's a big deal. But when the Holy Spirit is in charge of our lives, he upsets our apple carts. He upsets our preconceived notions. He upsets our ideas with his truth, with his love, and with his ideas. Peter invites them in. Shocker. The next day he goes with them to Caesarea and goes into the home of a Gentile. Bigger shocker. And when he comes into the home, it's what do we see? He found a large gathering of people. And he says to them, you are well aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. Did God say that? Nope, God did not say that. That was Jewish culture, Jewish tradition, okay? Jewish culture and tradition. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. That's why the vision was three times, because Peter was really stubborn. And he says, oh, now I see what God is doing. Now I see what God is saying. We're going to talk about this, huh? We're going to talk about this next time because, yeah, anyhow, next time. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. But I want you to see, don't you think of all the disciples, Peter was probably the most stubborn? Don't you think so? And Peter was sort of the natural leader. I want you to see what Peter says here and what it means here. God has shown me I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. And I want you to see what that means. You know what Peter is saying when he says that? God's in charge. Holy Spirit's in charge, right? An older Peter, a younger Peter would have said, no, I can't do that. They're Gentiles. They're unclean. They're impure. But the Peter who knows the Holy Spirit's in charge, he's in his hands. Peter says, I came without objection. Brothers and sisters, what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life and in your situation is be in charge. He wants to be in charge. And when he's in charge, he will arrange and he will order and he will orchestrate things in a beautiful, wonderful way. I want to read one verse to you. I'm trying to stay mostly in Acts, but I want to read one verse to you, and then we're going to stop for this morning. I want you to read this, and I want you to see. You may not even have noticed this before. This is from 2 Corinthians, inspired by the Holy Spirit, who wrote the Bible, the author of the Bible, and then human writers wrote it down. So this is written by Paul, right? It's the last verse of 2 Corinthians. Shall we read it together? And then let's look at what it says about the Holy Spirit. We're still talking about Holy Spirit in charge. Ready? Let's read together. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. What a beautiful benediction, isn't it? Maybe we should close our services in that way. That's beautiful, isn't it? Let's look at one phrase, although all of this is applicable to this. Paul writes, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, our only point this morning was he's in charge. But here, Paul says, he doesn't talk about being in charge, but he says, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. What does that mean? Those of you that know a little bit of Greek, this word fellowship is the Greek word koinonia. Koinonia. So for some of you that have that background. And it's a word that means fellowship, but it also means, listen to this, it also means partnership, participation, communion, distribution. Isn't that beautiful? So think about the Holy Spirit being in charge, but don't think of him as a big boss over you, pulling your strings like a puppet and telling you what to do. That's not how the Holy Spirit operates, and that's not how he works. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Remember how gentle Jesus could be with us? He could be so gentle. And so the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. He is in charge, and yet it's a fellowship to be with you all, partnership, participation, communion, distribution. And so as the Holy Spirit is in charge in your life this week, think of him in a new way. Think of his fellowship with you this week. When you feel lonely, when you are not sure what to do, when you feel powerless, don't worry, they're going to Macau. When you feel alone, when you are trying to figure out what to do, receive this from God. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God takes of himself and distributes to you. He partners with you. God's going to touch some of your hearts this week, and he's going to want you to do things. He's going to want you to speak to people. He's going to prompt you to forgive people that are hard to forgive. Guarantee. I can't do it. I can't either. Holy Spirit can do it. And he's in partnership with you. He's in charge. He's in charge. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So I just want to invite you just to close your eyes as we... Wow, I stopped early. Point one. But I really mean this as we close and as you look ahead to this week. Would you receive the benediction, the blessing of the Lord in your life this morning? Just if you want to just sort of open your hands and open your heart. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you need grace? I need grace. Grace means I receive from God what I don't deserve. I really need that. Lord, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be upon your people this week. Be upon your people. Would you receive his grace right now? Would you just experience and the presence and the grace of the Lord Jesus? Just feel in your heart right now. You say, I'm unworthy. Of course you're unworthy. That's why Jesus came, so you can have his grace. The love of God. I don't deserve love. Notice that it's God, the love of God. And sometimes we think of fathers as being stern, perhaps not so loving, but it's the love of God, so powerful. Would you receive the love of God into your life right now? Love that is unending, love that is eternal, love that is powerful, love that covers everything. And then finally, and Lord, may the fellowship of your Holy Spirit be with us all. Holy Spirit, we do not know what we will face this week, but you know because you're in charge and you know everything. May you fellowship with us. May you distribute yourself to us. Would you partner with us this week? Would you lead us, guide us, equip us, enable us, empower us. Things that we cannot do on our own in our own strength. But when you come, we will be filled with your power. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.